like to invite you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read as our scripture reading for the message today, verses 8 through 10. That will be our focal passage today. Ephesians chapter 5. If you're just joining us today, we're working through the book of Ephesians, slowly but surely. But we are making some progress. And our, you know, really we want the Word of God to be changing our lives, to be changing our minds, to be renewing our minds, because that's how that is going to happen. Our minds will be renewed, like verse 23 of chapter 4 says, and we will put on that new man that's created according to God in true righteousness and holiness, as the Word of God shapes our lives. And that's what we hope, and that's what we pray God is doing through His Word. On a Sunday, each Sunday morning, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, as it says in the book of Isaiah. And that's how God takes His Word and makes us the people He's called us to be. The scripture reading today is Ephesians 5, 8 through 10. I'll read aloud if you'd follow along. The Bible says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord." May God bless the reading of His Word to our hearts. Let us pray together. Our Father, we come desperately in need of hearing Your Word today. In Your Word we find life. Lord, in Your Word we will be transformed more and more into the people You've called us to be. And we thank You, God, that we can study it today. Please bless Your Word as it goes out. Help me, Lord, to deliver it, that Your people might be built up today. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, I want to share with you a message that I've entitled today, Let It Shine. Now, if we go back to chapter 5, verse 1, I want to read back through these first seven verses, kind of summarizing what we've seen already. If you look at verse 1, he says, "Therefore," and he says, "Therefore, because of that which came before it," he says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children." So we saw that we could live like God. In verse 2, Paul says, "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." So we see there that we can love like Jesus, that we are to love like Jesus. And He possessed love and practiced love in verse 2. Going on to verse 3, the Bible says, "For fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." In all of these terms that we found here, these six, they all seem to be in the context of sexual immorality, even covetousness, being the coveting of someone else for your own gain or purpose. It may go beyond that, but Paul certainly seems to be driving that home. And the debased lifestyle results in a debased words that come out of our mouth in verse 4, those three terms that are used there. None of these things, Paul writes, are fitting for saints, is what we looked at. Then coming to verse 5, we looked at three compelling reasons for saintly sexuality in verses 5 through 7. I hope you remember what they are. First one's found in verse 5 because he says, "For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God." I know it's early and it's time change Sunday, so I'm not going to ask you if you remember which point came from that. But here it is, the purity of the heavenly kingdom. The purity of the heavenly kingdom should drive saintly sexuality, so that we do not sin in that area of our lives. It's because of the purity of the heavenly kingdom. And then in verse 6, he continues and says, "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." The next 2 points came from this verse, and it was the deception of the fallen world, and the third one is the reality of God's wrath. These three things ought to impact our lives in the area of our sexuality, so that we do not sin like the lost world around us, becoming just like them. The gospel should make a difference in that area of our lives in a major way. And then in verse 7, we concluded last week's sermon with this point of application. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. We saw that we should not be partakers in their disobedient ways, and we should not be partakers in the wrath that they face. Now, as we come to verse 8 through 10, I want to share with you really three reasons from this concept of us being light in the Lord that should, I hope, encourage you to pursue purity. All right, I hope that what we're about to see this morning encourages you and emboldens you to pursue a pure life in the area, particularly of sexuality, since Paul is emphasizing that so much here, but also throughout every area of our life. All right, so we're going to look at the first point, and that is the transformation is concluded. Now, you may argue, yeah, but we are still being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And we are, okay, I got that from Romans chapter 12. But in the same way, we see that this transformation apparently is concluded because it has happened. We have been transformed from light, from darkness to light. Let's look at the verse. Paul writes, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord." And then he ends by saying, "Walk as children of light." But this first point comes from that first sentence. So here's the transformation that takes place. He writes there, "You were darkness." Notice he doesn't say that you were once in darkness, but he says here, "You were once darkness." It's like, you know, you ever heard that phrase that they run with the wrong crowd? They run with the bad crowd? Anybody ever heard that? Talking about some, oh, they're running with a bad crowd. They're not running with the bad crowd. They are the bad crowd. You know what I'm saying? So here, it's not Paul saying, oh, you were once with the darkness. You were once in darkness. No, you were once the darkness. It was you. And then the next part, the transformation that he seems to be alluding to here, being very clear about, not alluding to it, he's telling us that's the way it is. He says, "But now you are light in the Lord. You were darkness, now you are light." We'll talk about this concept here just a little bit. First of all, look at the pronoun "you," "for you were once darkness." Who is the "you" that he's talking about? You can go back up to verse 3. And at the end of that, it says, "Let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints." And then down in verse 5, he says, "For this you know, you saints know." And then in verse 6, "Let no one deceive you, let no one deceive you saints with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience." Saints are those who have been set apart by God, for God, through Christ. They are not a select group of individuals within the church. But if you are a part of the church, a born-again child of God, having believed the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God's Son died on the cross for our sins, He was buried and rose again on the third day. That is the gospel. If you don't know what the gospel is, you must know this morning that that is the gospel. And that gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It is that gospel that sets us aside to be saints to God. So that we are holy, we are to be holy as the Lord our God is holy. And He's going to present us that way to Him one day. Did you know that? Jesus is going to present us that way to God, holy and without blame before Him. So the you there is the saints, and then we see here that the darkness. The Bible has a whole lot to say about this that I'm not going to try to share all of it with you, but there's a couple of passages here in Ephesians that kind of give us a pretty good indication of what this is. If you'll look back at Ephesians 2 and then 4, I want to show you a passage. Ephesians chapter 2, you may have guessed that I would go here, but in Ephesians 2, starting at verse 1, it says, "And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." Verse 3, "Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." All right, that sounds a lot like being in darkness to me. You were not in the light of God, and God is light, but you were in darkness. And then next, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 19, this passage is key. I don't think we realize how important this one is sometimes, but Ephesians 4, 17 through 19, Paul says to him, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding," what? "Darkened, being alienated," that means you were foreign from the life of God, "because of the ignorance that is in you, because of the blindness of their heart," I'm sorry, "that was in them, because of the blindness of their heart." And then in verse 19, "who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness." All right? Those are two key passages in Ephesians that kind of would seem to describe this darkness that we once were, that we were not just a part of, but that we were this darkness. And you know what's so amazing about it is? We didn't hate it. We loved it. John chapter 3 tells us this, because we may look at that and say, "Well, I was in that darkness, but boy, I sure didn't like it." But that's not true, because the Bible says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You love it. We loved it. And apart from God's grace, we would still love it. That's the amazing thing about His grace. It is transformative. It changes us. Now, as we look at this, we may say, "Boy, this sure doesn't make me feel very good about myself. Aren't we supposed to build one another up?" Society would have us believe that we are pretty good folks and that we really just need to kind of meet God halfway. Or, you know, do we really even need God at all? I mean, inherently we are good. Wrong answer. We are darkness. You know, the little boy, I've told you all the story about the little boy who came up to the preacher at the end of service, and he told the preacher that, you know, he wants to be a Christian and follow the Lord. And the preacher said, "Well, tell me a little bit about that." And the little boy said, "Well, the way I see it, God did His part and I did my part." And the preacher's like, "Whoa, wait a minute now, I need to know more about that. What do you mean you did your part?" He said, "Well, I did the sinning and God did the saving." And that's so true. You see, God saves us and draws us out of His darkness, out of darkness into His marvelous light. Why? So that we can proclaim the praises of Him who did that as we see in 1 Peter. Why do we get together and sing on Sunday mornings? Because we are proclaiming the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He's put a new song in our hearts. So we are not only we're darkness, but we are light in the Lord. This is such a wonderful thing. In Genesis chapter 1, you know, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit hovered over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was, what? Light. And the same thing happens in our lives. When we become light in the Lord, it is because God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has done this marvelous work within us. In 1 Corinthians 5:17, the Bible says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new what? Creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, Paul's talking here about this transformation that has happened in our lives. In John chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus says there that he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Over and over again, we could look at passages in Scripture, but I'd like to ask you to turn to one place because I want you to see this one. In Acts chapter 26, verse 18. I shared with everybody on Wednesday night from Hebrews 7, just a little bit there, and I told everybody that's probably, if I had to mark down favorite passage of mine in the whole Bible, it's probably Hebrews chapter 7, verses 25 and 26, but this one's way up on the list. In Acts 26:18, Paul is recounting his calling, his salvation, and his commissioning by the Lord to go out and preach the gospel. And he's going to preach that gospel, as we see in verse 17, to Jews and to Gentiles. And then you see what's going to happen when he preaches that gospel. In verse 18, he's preaching it to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. You see that passage? That is such an important verse, because it tells us what occurs when the gospel of Jesus Christ is believed by the wretched sinner. That sinner, all of us, this was all of us who are in Christ, from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, from being in our sins to being forgiven of our sins, to having no inheritance, to having an inheritance among the people of God. God has done this through the gospel. You can turn back to Ephesians chapter 5. So we should no longer reckon ourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, we should not let sin reign in our mortal body, that we should obey it in its lust. And then as Paul said, but God be thanked that though you were once slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Let's go to point number two. The next point is the expectation is clear. The expectation is clear. We were once those things, but we're not anymore. Paul told the Corinthians, he says, and such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So here the second point from verse 8b to 9 is the expectation is clear. Remember, What I'm trying to get across to you today is that as a Christian, you should have boldness to face sin. You should have boldness to face things like sexual immorality, knowing that because of what's happened in your life through the gospel, you can put those things away. Your mind can be renewed. Number one, it's because the transformation is concluded. You have gone from being in darkness to being darkness to now being light in the Lord. The second thing is because the expectation is clear. Here in Ephesians 5, we see there at the end of verse 8, he says, walk as children of light. All right, that's the expectation. That if we are light in the Lord, it's not a light that we generate in and of ourselves. Just like the moon doesn't shine its own light, it reflects the light of the sun. So we are light in the Lord. He is the source of our light. And because of that, we are to walk that way. The expectation is clear. Now, if you notice back in verse 2, we are to walk in love. If we jump forward to verse 15, we are to walk circumspectly. If we were to go back to chapter 4, we are to not walk as the Gentiles walk. So what does the word walk mean? It means our manner of life. It means the way that we live. It's our conduct. So that's clear, right? Walk as children of light. Well, that's what we have here. Walk as children of light is clear expectation. Or is it? Maybe the parentheses here will give us a little clue as to what Paul means. Look at verse 9. In verse 9, he says, and I take this as an explanation. He's put a parenthetical statement here to describe, to give us understanding into what he means by walk as children of light. So verse 9, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Now, I'm betting some of you have a translation that says, the fruit of the light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Anybody got that? Raise your hand if that's what's in your Bibles, all right? That goes back to the Greek manuscripts that your translation of the Bible was translated from and that which the New King James or King James was translated from. Not going to get into anything real technical there because I'll probably just confuse myself if I try to do that. But the reality is here, with the whether it's the Spirit or light, we are light in the who? In the Lord. Where does the Spirit of God come from? Where does the Spirit come from? It comes from the Lord. So really, if you boil it down, the source is the same in both of these. Light and Spirit both come from Christ. And they it is from that source that we are able to bear fruit, okay? The expectation is clear. In verse 9, it says, for the fruit of the Spirit, or fruit of the light, is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. All right, so what in the world does that mean? Paul here is telling us, because the Ephesians, like us, may read that phrase, walk as children of light, and wonder, am I in the light? Am I able to walk as a child of the light? Have I ever done that before? And then Paul gives us this parenthetical statement that tells us that the fruit of the Spirit or light, it is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. The word goodness is a word that means love in action. It's found in Galatians 5:22 in the fruit of the Spirit. Righteousness means right character before God and before man. And then truth is conformity to the word and will of God. Truth is the conformity to the word and will of God. Now, let me try to keep this as simple as possible. If I had an apple in my hand, beautiful red apple, and I were to take a knife and I were to cut that apple open and break it apart, what am I going to find within it? Apple. That's pretty complicated this morning, isn't it? Not going to find an orange. You're not going to find a pineapple. You're not going to find anything else. Brother David, I don't know what, I don't want to know what that smart comment was you just made back there. You're gonna find apple in there. All right, now let's take this goodness, righteousness, and truth in the Christian life. You break that apart. What are you gonna find in there? You're gonna find Eric? No, what are you gonna find? You're going to find in goodness, righteousness, and truth the light, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the light. So he could be saying that the fruit or the light causes that those things, the goodness, righteousness, and truth. Or he could also be saying, if you read it specifically, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Maybe he's wanting the Christians here who are reading this to say, hey, if you've seen any evidence of goodness, righteousness, and truth in your life, then you need not attribute that to yourself. You ought to attribute it to the light that is in you, the light of the Lord that is in you. And what should that do for you? That should cause you to say, Jesus is working in my life. I'm not what I'm going to be, but praise God, I'm not what I used to be. He has made a difference and is continuing to make a difference in my life. But then some of you are going to think, well, what if I deceive myself? What if I'm doing it for the wrong reasons? See, it's according to truth. Goodness, righteousness, truth. If it's according to truth, we're not doing it for our own glory, but it's for the glory of the Lord and that He would be magnified. I hope that makes sense. Let's go to point number three. All right, the examination is constant. I'm excited about looking at this verse because in verse 10, he says, finding out what's acceptable to the Lord. My kids know, probably, if you know me very well and been around me very much, you know if there's something that happens, one of the first things that I do is I reach in my pocket and pull out my flashlight. I know y'all are going to think that's crazy. But everybody needs one of these little flashlights right here. I'll pop that baby on and I'll take a look at it. Because I don't want to wonder about what's there. My kids have something wrong with them. They get a cut. One of the first things I do, I'll pop that flashlight out and I'll get down there and I'll look at it real close. Get something in their eye, I pop my flashlight out. In their mouth, I pop my flashlight out. If I'm back in the sound booth trying to find something in the closet, I'll pop my flashlight out and I turn it on. I'm looking in there. Why? I want to clearly see what's going on. And here's what he's saying in this passage. He says, we walk in the light, and as we walk in the light, we're able to say, that does not please the Lord. That does not please the Lord. That pleases the Lord. That pleases the Lord. So look at finding out. The word finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, the word finding out means it means to put it to the test. It means to approve or discern. Someone else has said that it means to discover by examination, to verify or to approve. It's the same word that's used in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. There's not a 1 10 in the Bible, I don't think. But 1 Timothy 3, verse 10, it talks about deacons. Let them first be examined. All right, so you walking in the light of the Lord, let's put some things to the test. Is fornication acceptable to the Lord? Is uncleanness acceptable to the Lord? Is covetousness acceptable to the Lord? A filthy talk, foolish talking, coarse jesting? No. And you see, because we have the light of God's Word here before us, when we face those things in our own hearts and minds, we face those temptations with our bodies, we can say it's not acceptable to the Lord. We're able to find those things out and to make them very clear. the different translations, like ESV translates this, to try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. The New American Standard translates it, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. There's a parallel passage I'd like to ask you to turn to. If you would turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verses 14 through 16. All right, Philippians 3. Here's what it says. Paul writes, and he says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, before that, he's saying he forgets the things that are behind. He's pressing forward to those things which are ahead. He's ultimately looking forward to, if I understand this, Jesus Christ raising him from the dead, calling him up to himself. The resurrection. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. That means if you're going to be mature, you got to have that mind that your ultimate goal is to be with Christ and like Christ. Okay? So therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Y'all see how crucial this is? And then in verse 16, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. I want to try to break this down to help you see that Paul, in both of these passages, seems to be talking about the same thing. Because in the one, in Ephesians, we're finding out what's acceptable to the Lord by walking in the light. Here he tells us that as we have the goal of being like Christ and with Christ one day, as we have that mind, if there's anywhere in our life that that mind isn't being applied, he says just hold on because God will reveal even this to you. The reason we've reached the point of sanctification that we have is because of God working in our life. And as we continue to reach greater points of sanctification, it will be because God kept working in our lives. Does that make sense? And that's what he's saying in verse 16. To the degree you've already grown in your sanctification, keep on doing that because you'll keep moving in the right direction in sanctification. In becoming the people who are holy unto God. I don't know. I feel like I'm getting a little more excited about that than y'all are. But, you know, I just want to ask you, do you do everything now that you did when you first became a Christian? Think about it. Do you watch all the same TV shows? Do you dress the same? Do you speak the same? Do you take into your body the same things that you used to? Are you more honest now, more truthful now than you were back then? Do you view the same things now that you viewed back then? You know, there's TV shows I watched when I was a new Christian that I wouldn't dare watch now. And, you know, Christ is working in us. And the reason that's happened is because we were in the light and we have found out more and more what's acceptable to Him and what's not acceptable to Him. So if you're in that light, I would say to you, keep on walking in it. Because as you do that, God's going to keep on revealing to you what's acceptable and what's not. Let's hit some points of application. If you want to turn back to Ephesians 5. Points of application is this. First one is missions is still needed because the world still sits in darkness and a great light has come. The Bible says in Matthew 4:16, "The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned." So we think about this so often in reading and interpreting a passage like this and applying it right here in our own context as Christians. But we need to realize that this idea of darkness is what's covering the face of humanity. Because men, women, boys, and girls are in darkness. And without the knowledge of Christ, they will not be saved. Therefore, missions, the preaching of the gospel to all the lands, must continue to happen so that they can be saved. Now, you may be sitting there today and saying, "I'm not saved. How can I be saved? How can I get out of this darkness?" I'll remind you of what the Bible says in John 8:12. Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." John 12:36 says, Jesus said, "You have the light. Believe in the light, that you may become sons of the light. I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." You see, the way you get out of the darkness is through the light of the world, Jesus Christ. And it's through Him, in the Lord, that we become light. John 3:21 says, "But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." Today, if you're out of Christ, come to Christ. Come to Him and find the light of life. And the second point of application, and the last one, is this: walk as children of light and keep on finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. I want to give you three subpoints here. The first one is this: we need to walk, we need to find these things out through the light of His Word. Through the light of His Word. Let's see, what does that psalm say? Psalm 119, 105. "Your Word is a lamp unto my feet and unto my path." How do we find out what's acceptable to the Lord? Through the light of His Word. Psalm 36:9 says, "With you is the fountain of life, and in your light we see light." The second point, through abiding in Christ. Through abiding in Christ. You can look at this passage, but Jesus tells us that He is the vine and that we are the branches. "He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing." In chapter 15, verse 8, He says, "By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." And then the last point is through fellowship with children of light. You know, you're here together today with a lot of children of light. And as children of light, we ought to consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. And in Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." You see, we are to help one another find out what's acceptable to the Lord, see the light of Jesus, and be encouraged to walk in that light. So, I've tried to share with you today three points. The first one is the transformation is concluded. You've gone from darkness to light if you are in Christ. The expectation is clear. The expectation is that we walk in the light. And then, number three, the examination is constant. We will live the rest of our lives in the light of the Lord, finding out what is acceptable to Him. That's all I've got for you today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time and pray that He will help us to apply His Word to our hearts. Father, I pray that because of your word, we would be a people who renounce the hidden things of darkness. And God, that we will walk in the light just as he is in the light. Lord, I pray as we all have various sin that we still engage in our lives, I pray, God, that that your word here would help us today to realize that you're working in us to willing to do for your good pleasure. And God, that your light is exposing the sin in our lives, not for us to turn our back to it and pay no attention, but Lord, for us to live accordingly, to live lives of as repenters, putting off the works of the flesh, and putting Christ on in every area. I pray for everyone who is here today who's not in Jesus Christ, who's not in the light, but is still in, but is still darkness. Oh Lord, may they see the light of Jesus Christ and run to him in faith and repentance today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.